Galatians chapter 3, a beautiful message from Jesus to the churches. And we're just going to look at the two verses, verses 7 and 8 of Revelation chapter 3. So chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." So I'd like to talk this morning about an open door. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to gather here in the name of Jesus Christ and pray you'd use your word in our lives to teach and grow us, Lord, to meet the needs of every soul represented. I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and we'd be drawn to him. We would leave changed. And we love you and commit the service to you and pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So as Jesus here is talking to the churches in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, he gives this beautiful message to the church of Philadelphia, which carries on to us as being the New Testament church. And he's encouraging us first about his person, but then about his leading in our lives. And that's an exciting thing for us as Christians to know that when we get saved, God doesn't just say, "I'll see you when you get to heaven." He then is with us. He not only indwells us, but the Bible says he leads and guides every step that we take. And that is a beautiful truth. So he starts there by encouraging us about who he is. And he is the one that has the power to lead and guide. Notice in verse 7, he says, "These things saith he that is holy." It always seems to start with God's holiness. And when you look in the Old Testament, it was the holiness of God that was engraved upon the head thing. I forget what it's called now. It just slipped out of my head. I think they called it a bonnet for the high priest. But it said, "Holiness to the Lord." So of all the attributes that could have been chosen to be seen by everyone when the high priest was wearing his proper garments, it was his holiness. And it's his holiness that demands justice. It's his holiness that demands salvation for us to be able to go to heaven. And so Jesus Christ starts right off by saying, "He that is holy." Now, if you go back to Isaiah 57 real quick, we'll see here that this is where God dwells. He calls it the holy place. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Notice the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And so God here says his name is holy and that he dwells in the high and holy place. And you and I know that because of the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to our account, as we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, we can come boldly under the throne of grace, which is in this high and holy place. But Jesus Christ is the Holy One. And we're told in Revelation 15:4 that only God is holy, but of course Jesus Christ is God. But he starts by encouraging us about his person, that he is the Holy One. He is Jehovah. And then he goes on to say, "He that is true." And as we know, there is no truth outside of God, because he isn't just the one who gives truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And thank the Lord he shared that with us in his word. And when Jesus came to the earth, he made it very clear. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6. Jesus Christ, again, he didn't just give truth. He is truth. He is the embodiment of truth. As Jehovah God, Jesus is true. So he is holy. He is true, verse 7, and he hath the key of David. What does he mean by that? Well, David is the one that God gave the wonderful promise to in 2 Samuel chapter 7. God said, "David, I'm going to one day continue your throne forever, and that my son will sit on your throne." And sure enough, when the kingdom comes, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit on the throne in Jerusalem, and it will be referred to as the throne of David. Jesus Christ is the one that has that key, the key of David, the one who is the only one who is qualified to sit on that throne. If you go to Luke chapter 1, the Bible talks about this. Here in Luke chapter 1, where things were just being introduced, and Jesus Christ was about to be born. Luke chapter 1, notice verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." That word Jesus is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament word Jehoshua, which means God saves or Jehovah saves. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the Savior. But as we see here, it is Him who will one day sit on the throne of David. So that's a reminder to us that the High and Holy One, that the True One, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah in the flesh, will one day be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem on the throne of David. And He is the one that has that key. Look at chapter 1 of Revelation and verse 18. Jesus Christ doesn't just have the key of David. He has all the keys because He's God. Revelation 1:18, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." As God, He has the key to hell and He has the key to death. Imagine that. And so Jesus Christ is building upon a foundation of His person before encouraging us that because of who He is and the power that He possesses, He controls the doors in our lives. And that brings it down to our personal level. Look at verse 7. "I'm He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." That's God. That's the power of God. And we, as God's children, need to remember that we look around and we see all the sin, we see all the problems, we see all the struggles in this world, but we're God's children. And He's on our side. Amen? And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And if God decides that this is the door, then God says no man can shut it. And if God decides I'm going to shut this door, God says no man can open it. And we need to rest in that great truth that God is in control of the doors in our lives. He tells us in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And in 1 John 4, the Bible says, you're of God, little children. The Bible says, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Satan is angry, Satan is powerful, but Jesus created Satan and is more powerful, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The God who lives in us is more powerful than the devil who runs this world. So we can take confidence in that. And so back to our passage, verse 8, Revelation 3, Jesus says, I know some things about you, and yet, I'm still going to give you some open doors. Now think about that. He knows everything about us. Has anyone in this room ever sinned? Of course we have. Jesus knows. Has anyone in this room ever sinned after they got saved? Of course we have. And yet He still blesses us. He still takes care of us. He still leads us. And that's what He says here. He says, I know thy works. I know that you have a little strength. And I know that you've kept my word. I know thy works. God knows everything. David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. He says, there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. In Psalm 90, he says, thou hast set our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. God knows everything. And despite knowing everything about us, He is a forgiving and a merciful and patient God. And He says, I know your works, and yet, behold, I've set before you an open door. I believe there's too many Christians that are just looking at the door instead of walking through it. God has plans for every one of us. God wants to use every one of us. We are of equal standing with God. We are all seated together in heavenly places. We've all been forgiven of our sin if we're born again. We are God's children. We're going to heaven someday, and God saved us to use us, that we might serve Him. God has a plan for us. And I believe that plan can be great for every believer. But we must be willing to walk through the doors that God opens. Let's look at some scriptures. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. So the wisest man that ever lived outside of Christ made a statement about these sorts of things. His name was Solomon, and he wrote this book called Ecclesiastes. And look what he says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Notice what he says, nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be taken from it. If God decides that this is the direction He wants us to go, and God says, here is a door, what is God saying? I want you to walk through it. I'm God. I'm powerful. I can do anything. And no man can shut it. That's the exciting part. Now, we often try to shut it ourselves, but it says no man. Does that mean that every Christian walks through the doors? Unfortunately, no. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 16, I'll show you an example from the life of the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest church planters that ever lived, a man that gave his life for Jesus Christ, literally, in his death, but also with his life. Notice 1 Corinthians 16, 9, he says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So he's talking to the church of Corinth, and he says, a great door is opened unto me. God has opened so many doors, and I keep walking through them, and God just keeps using me, and great things are happening, and God is planting churches through me, and people are getting saved, and people are getting discipled, and there are many adversaries. That's life. That's right there, life wrapped up in a verse, isn't it? That God's going to keep opening doors and He wants us to walk through them. Does that mean we're going to face some resistance? Absolutely. Does the devil want us to go forward and accomplish great things for God? No. So is the devil going to try to slow us down? Yes. Did he try to slow Paul down? Many times. But he just kept going. He just kept walking through the doors. And he wants us to do the same. Look at 2 Corinthians now, verse chapter 2. So Paul understood this principle, and Paul lived this principle about the doors that God opens in our lives. Look at verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. You see, he understood. This is God opening a door for me, and I'm going to walk through it because God has something on the other side. Typically, it was people getting saved and churches getting planted. But he didn't just stand back and say, oh, that one's too hard or that one's too scary. He said, if that's what God wants, then that's what I'm going to do. And I believe there's a lot of Christians that God's opened this door. He wants to use you. It might be on the mission field. It might be in the ministry. It might be anything. But you're afraid to walk through it. But what is there to be afraid of? Think about it. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear, David said. If it's God's will, why should we be afraid? Who are we afraid of? The devil? God says, greater is He that is in you, He's in the world. Other people? Who are they? We only need to just serve God and do right. Walk through the door. And, you know, David had so much to say. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures. Go to Psalm 5, verse 8. That he had so much to say about God's leading in his life. Because the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. God didn't say that very often. Matter of fact, God said it once. About one man, David. Was David perfect? Absolutely not. David sinned, committed murder, committed adultery. And yet, look what he says, Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. He says in Psalm 25, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Most of us know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me. God leads us. God directs us. God opens the doors. And God wants us as His people to walk through them, because if it's God's will, then God will make it happen. You know, he said that. If you go to Isaiah 54, he was trying to encourage his people in the midst of his warnings here in Isaiah, that he is with them, and if they would but go forward in his strength and in his will, God would protect them. And that is true for us. Notice Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon. If it's God's will, then if we'll walk, God will make it happen. That's what He's telling us. No weapon can stop you. No tongue can stop you. If it's God's will, if God opens the door, walk through it. Because He says no man can shut it. And back to verse 8 of our passage, Revelation 3, He says, I acknowledge a couple of things about you. First of all, I know thy works, but notice He says, thou hast a little strength. Isn't that good? God isn't saying, I'm going to open a door for you, but you're only allowed to walk through it if you have an amazing strength. Only Samsons are allowed to walk through the doors. God doesn't say that. Because, folks, we don't have any strength. Any strength we have comes from the Lord. And that's what God is saying. You know, we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, we have this treasure of our salvation, of our soul, in a piece of dust. An earthen vessel. That the excellence of the power, in other words, that the power may come from God. That He's the one that gets the glory. He's the one that provides the power and the ability to get it done. He says, just walk through the door. I realize you have a little bit of strength, but doesn't the Bible say I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me in Philippians 4:13? Yes. We are of little strength. We're just nothing without God. The Bible says in Psalm 103, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God knows all these things. He's not saying, I want you to go through that door and I want you to do everything in your own strength. He never says that. He says, as a matter of fact, I will indwell you and empower you. And if you'll yield to me, I'll fill you. Be filled with the Spirit, who will guide every step. So He says, thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. The word always seems to be involved in these things. Not surprisingly, because that is our guide. That is our food. And God is looking for Christians that will just keep the word of God and walk through the doors. You know, Paul told Timothy and the people of the day, fight the good fight. Keep the word. Stand for what's right. Paul said at the end of his life, let's turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. The last chapter Paul wrote for the word of God was 2 Timothy chapter 4 before he was martyred in Rome. And so it's kind of a special chapter. The last chapter he ever wrote was 2 Timothy 4. And look what he said, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Isn't that beautiful? He says, I'm at the end. He knew he was about to be martyred there in Rome. He knew what was coming. And he said, I fought and I finished and I've kept the faith. I just kept walking through the doors. And God enabled me, and God protected me, and God used me. And God wants to do that with every believer in Jesus Christ. He wants to use us to do great things for Him. And you know, the typical response is like Moses. Well, who am I? I'm just a nobody. Let me tell you, God loves to use nobodies. He doesn't usually use people that are the bigwigs, because there's too much pride there, and it's just a lot of work to get that pride out. But He definitely loves to use nobodies. And look at Moses. Look how much He used Moses, who initially said, "Lord, I can't do this. I'm not able. I can't speak well." But he did it anyway. And God empowered him. And look what he did. He led millions of people through the desert for 40 years. Imagine that. And fell down before God and prayed for them many times when God was ready to wipe them out. And put up with all of their moaning, complaining, and blaming him. This is a man that said, "Who am I?" And Isaiah basically said the same thing there in chapter 1 of Isaiah. He said, "Lord, who am I? I'm a man of unclean lips." But then later on in chapter 6, he says, "Here am I. Just send me. I'm a nobody, but if you're wanting me to do something, I'll do it. If you want me to walk through that door, I'll do it. I can't do it without you, Lord," but he never asked us to. So Jesus says he knows our works, he knows our strength, he knows that we're trying to stand for his word, and he says, "I want you to go through these open doors," and he encouraged us and said, "No man can shut it." But we have to be willing to walk through it. And so I hope that we'll take it to heart. He finally says there in verse 8, "Has not denied my name." Well, I would hope that would always be true in our lives. We're to be out there telling people about Jesus. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." He says, "I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not going to deny the Lord. I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to walk through the doors that God opens." And I believe with all my heart, it's the same Holy Spirit, it's the same God, that any Christian who will just say, "Lord, I'm willing to walk through any door that you open," God will use that Christian in mighty ways. We just got to be willing to do it. "I've set before thee an open door." Let's pray.